All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to compete at BFL 77, and that goes down on June 9th, defending his middleweight championship in the co-main event. We have Jared Ravel taking on Bruno Santos, and great having Jared back on the show. How's your day going there, Jared?
It's going good, man. It's going good. Just drinking lots of water and, you know, staying with it, right?
Yeah, for sure, and obviously a lot to talk about with this fight, but I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't at least, you know, briefly touch on the last one. Like, that seemed like an important one to you, just getting that, you know, main event victory and beating someone like Jesse Taylor, who obviously had a, you know, pretty big profile going into that one, and getting your, you know, ninth, you know, first round finish and everything like that. What were the main takeaways from that one there for you?
Yeah, I think it was just like execution, right? Like, we executed kind of the game plan that was you know, we figured around 4 minutes that would be when, you know, either we'd get the finish or, right, the pace would slow down for him, right? So it just execution was the main point, right? And getting that, you know, with my coaches, my team, just putting that all together.
Yeah, that must have been satisfying, because when we were talking, you were saying getting the finish was an aim of yours, and I mean, your track record really speaks to that, but it must be satisfying to see like a specifically mapped out game plan kind of, you know, fall into place. But that being said, were there any things Jesse Taylor brought to the cage that existed outside of those preconceived notions, I guess?
You know, he actually like was throwing more you know, like ground and pound than like in his most previous fights. Like, he hadn't been throwing as many. Obviously, like, he used to have good ground and pound when he first kind of came in on the scene, but he kind of went more jiu-jitsu in the last little bit, right? But he was throwing some elbows, even clipped me with one, right? Cut me a little bit. So that was probably the only difference in that.
Yeah, it also seemed in line with just a lot of the conversations we've had. Like, it seems like the aims you have are really to just test yourself against the highest opposition possible, and just fighting someone who previously was like an Ultimate Fighter veteran and has fought guys like Dennis Kang and Luke Rockhold. I would think that it would, you know, be satisfied on that kind of end as well, just to the point I was making, I guess.
Yeah, definitely, man. It definitely was, you know, it's a satisfying victory for sure. Just like, you know, to be able to test yourself against guys like that.
Yeah, and it seems like it's parlayed itself into a big one here, just in terms of, I mean, even beyond this fight, which in and of itself is a great fight, obviously, but just multiple championship fights being on this card, getting back on UFC Fight Pass again, and it seems like it's in, you know, a certain proximity to, like, the big UFC card that's coming through on Saturday, and I've been seeing rumblings of certain, you know, people like that in the UFC kind of, you know, being there for this one, so it seems like there's a lot, you know, going into this one, a lot of boxes being checked off, as it were.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a showcase. Lots of eyes on the event, so it's just it's primed for, you know, for a showcase and for you know, a big night and you know, to put on a show.
Yeah, absolutely. And what were the, I guess, initial thoughts when this bout offer kind of came your way? Because you're, you know, fighting a strong opponent, obviously, and has, you know, great experience to their credit previously with PFL and ACA and some other reputable leagues of that sort, UFC as well. Like, what were your thoughts when this bout offer initially came your way?
It was a tough fight for sure, you know, but yeah, at the end of the day, that's like what we were talking about. That's the kind of exactly what I'm looking for, and to be able to get a finish over a guy like this is just gonna, you know, cement that, right?
Yeah, for sure. And is it a similar dynamic to last time, and as far as, I mean, you just mentioned there the desire to secure the finish, but also, I mean, you were talking about having a thoroughly mapped out game plan for the last opponent. Like, obviously not getting you to divulge the game plan for this one, but is it that confluence of the two things?
I think definitely, you know, to execute the game plan, right? But ideally, like, the game plan always has a finish in it, right? So that's, you know, going for that, right? That's the goal for sure. And, you know, I think execution is just, like, where I've got to. It's, you know, you put all the work in, right? And, you know, make sure you implement. You don't hesitate, right? You just take full advantage of the moment.
Yeah, and who have you been, I guess, mostly working with ahead of this particular fight? Like, are you working with people who, I guess, have maybe similar, you know, body types or stylistic attributes to Bruno Santos? Like, who would you say you're predominantly getting in work with in this camp?
You know, like we, a lot of the work goes, like I've been training a lot with the Blur camp, right? Like that's, you know, that's what I got, like those guys, right? We're all bigger boys, right? And it gives me the weight look, right? And then the Hunter Lee, the same guy that I've been training with, and, you know, guy that needs a fight for sure, right? He's 1-0 as a pro, but, you know, he's a monster, and that's why nobody's taking the fight with him, right? But he's been probably my most steadily training partner throughout this camp.
Yeah, it seems like a good combination of things with, like, Buller being, like, the more, I guess, like, established, kind of, like, bigger body that we're talking about, and then you got, like, the young, hungry, you know, guy on the rise. So probably, like, mentality-wise, it's, like, a good mixture to kind of have there.
100%, man, 100%.
And probably a good vibe, too, with, like, Arjan getting ready to, you know, return to the one circle and take on, you know, Anatoly Malykin. So there's probably a good vibe. I mean, I imagine there's a good vibe at all times in the gym anyway, as you're kind of readying for these fights, but
brings it together, right? And, you know, everybody's, you know, gearing up, everybody's amped up for, you know, some big moments, right? And to put on shows. So everybody's, you know, in that championship mindset, right?
Yeah, love to see it. I mean, definitely some killers from out of there, as we're kind of talking about there, and obviously not overlooking this fight per se, but I did mention the, you know, dynamics of it being in close proximity to the UFC event and stuff like that. Do you have any plans to be going to that event, or are you more focusing on kind of decompressing and doing non-MMA related stuff after the fight and all?
No, it all, like, you know, one of my favorite guys, Eric Anders, he's fighting the next night, right? So that's you know, kind of is definitely somebody want to support and be around for that, right? So.
Oh, cool. Is that someone you've gotten in, like, a lot of training with in the past? Or, like, where does that camaraderie kind of come from? Is it just appreciation for his fighting style? Or, like, is it a more, like, yeah?
I've went out to, Fight Ready is the gym that he trains out of in Arizona. And oh, yeah. I went there for a couple of his camps for his fights, right? So, you know, put a lot of work in with him. He's obviously helped me get a lot better in the same spit, right? So it's you just invest in that guy as a fighter and you know, love seeing him do well, right?
Yeah, I would think that would be a great space too. Like, yeah, we kind of had talked about that in a previous interview. It kind of slipped my mind a little bit, but definitely a, you know, great space. I was going to say, have you been cross-training as much as of late? Like, it seems like you've mostly been working with the Buller camp, like, at least the last couple times we've been talking.
Yeah, for the last two camps, I've kind of just been back home here. You know, I haven't really traveled as much, right? But, you know, you still got, you know, connections out there. And I think he kind of reached out about maybe going out for this camp. And, you know, I was kind of told him, I think I'm going to have a fight, you know, the night before, right? So it was like, you know, I was just kind of in that... I was in the limbo because I had an opponent originally, and then it fell through, and then I got another opponent, right? So I stuck around home here.
I guess one of the obvious questions is he going to be coming to your fight? Like, is he stopping by the BFL card, or not so much, maybe?
You know, like, I'm not putting that on the guy. You know, he's got a fight that, you know, although he loves fights, so who knows at that point, right? I'll... you know, if that's something he's down for, but he's got to fight. He's going to be doing weigh-ins, right? And then, you know, probably going to want to, you know, relax and chill. I don't put anything like that on him, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, that's totally fair. I get where you're coming from. Who's going to be representing at that event, though? Is Pistol Pete coming out for this one, or what's going on with that?
You know, Pistol Pete loves to watch from the television, so he doesn't like the live noise at a fight event, which is weird because he loves hockey games and all that. But I think it's just, you know, it's a lot, right? He gets a little bit of emotional sometimes when he watches me fight too, right? So it's he's got to you know, have his spot, right? But hopefully, you know, the whole hometown crew, family, friends, right, and you know, all the people that support, right? That's always the big key.
Yeah, I was gonna say, he does get pretty rowdy, a very enthusiastic fan, it seems like, for what you do out there.
Oh, 100%, man.
Yeah, love to see that for sure. And I don't know if this has happened already or if it's still like a bit in the future, but it looked like you were getting like a, you know, golf tournament going in June and stuff like that, like Smash the Stigma, I believe, was like, yeah.
So June 18th, so the following Sunday, right? So Father's Day, so it's a huge event we always like to put on, you know, for autism, right? And we're aligned with the Canucks Autism Network, and definitely, it's a great cause. It's near and dear to our hearts, right? So
that's awesome. How long have you been kind of helping organize that there?
So we we've had a couple of, years in between some of them just because of COVID, different things. So we started with a spike ball tournament. That's how we started it one summer. And then we kind of went on to a golf tournament, the past summer. And then now we're back at the golf. It just seems like the easiest form, right, for us.
Yeah, I mean, that's always like a good sort of thing too. I mean, obviously in a, predominant way, it's a great cause, but good way to, get people out. I feel like people, really enjoy ripping the golf during summer. So, cool that that's an event that's, yeah.
For sure.
But yeah, I guess just one of the last like fight related things I kind of wanted to touch on. Like, I would think that you'd be, happy at getting like a, I guess, relatively stronger strength of schedule as of late, just in as far as the consistency, because I mean, you got to have like the single fight across like 2021 and 2022. So yeah, it seems like the landscape is a bit more cleared to be active, which I would think that you would derive a lot from. Like, it's a bit over like a couple months turnaround since the last fight. So I mean, can you speak to that? Like, I imagine you're excited at the rate of activity.
Yeah, definitely. I think I've always wanted to be active. It almost seems like, it was like one fight a year for 3 years almost, right? And which was unfortunate, right? But that's just, in the way of the beast, right? And, I think COVID had a little bit to do with that at the beginning, right? But now it's been good, and, not getting younger, so I might as well, jump on while I can, right?
Yeah, and a very compelling matchup for sure. This Bruno Santos fight was one that I found very intriguing when the announcement came, and I appreciate you making a bit of time to, talk before the fight and everything, Jared, but kind of curious if maybe there's any final parting thought you might want to add as we're kind of wrapping up here though, man.
No, just make sure you, it's going to be a huge weekend, in Vancouver for fights, both BFL 77 and UFC, right? So it's, I think it's going to be exciting, and you're not going to want to miss it. It's going to be a show.
Yeah, and I imagine it's probably sold out, but if anyone can finagle any tickets and they're in the Vancouver, BC area, definitely something they should make out of their schedule, map out a little spot to check out for sure. Like you said, a packed weekend in the area, but if they're not, they can check it out on UFC Fight Pass, which is always handy. But thanks again for coming on the show, Jared. Always fun getting your insights ahead of these big fights, and just, hopefully you enjoy the rest of your night, and looking forward to peeping the fight when it goes down too.
Appreciate it, man. Always a pleasure.